Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, let's look at our anchor scriptures. Our first reading is the book of 2 Samuel chapter 2 verse 1 to 4. Our first reading, 2 Samuel the chapter 2 verse 1 to 4. It happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up." David said, "Where shall I go up?" And he said, "To Hebron." So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And David brought up the men who were with him, every man with his household. So they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, "The men of Jabesh Gilead were the ones who buried Saul." Hallelujah. Second reading, the book of Acts chapter 6 verse 1 to 5. Now in those days, when the numbers of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint among the Hebrews by the Hellenites, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Don't misinterpret this very statement here. Okay? Sometimes people think that serving of tables is not ministry. Today you'll find out. He said it is not good for that 12 of them who were responsible for apostolic work to leave that their core mandate which got they are assigned to come and then serve tables. So it's like the president of Ghana leaving his duty as a president to do the work of a minister, of less a minister of finance. Do you really get it? So that does not mean that this serving of tables is a small thing. You find out about the serving of tables. You see that some of us, we don't even qualify. "Therefore, brethren, seek out among you seven men of good reputation, number one, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business." Can you see the people who are qualified to serve tables? "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So this, they are ministry of the word. So this is about preaching. Okay, I'm not teaching on this topic. Let's move on. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip." This name, how do we pronounce it? Is it Pro and Chorus? They were Cambo man. I said, "Bonnie saying, grammarian." Everybody say, "Pro and add a chorus to it." As you can see there, let's move on. Don't worry me. "Nicanor, Timon, Parmenax, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch." Verse 6. Add a verse 6 for me. "Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them." Hallelujah. They did what? Lay hands. Our last reading that we are all going to read together, Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. Pleasure. You're welcome. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching." Are you following the ministry? Let's go. "He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Is that all? That is it. Hallelujah. Amen. As it pleased the Lord that we still continue in the matter of the anointing. Today we want to look at the third level of the anointing. We started talking about the levels of anointing, which I explained on through the message, another measure, another 1,000, that the things of the kingdom, when they come into this earth realm, they come in a form of seed because of the concept of time. So because of that, the things are subjected to processes, stages, and levels. Do you remember? So anything that God wants to do by all strength is more or less in a seed form. And that speaks about the law of what? Potential. You remember that? So with that, the things are set into your stages, levels, to manifest in its full power and capacity. And I said anointing is not an exception. So we started looking at anointing as it progresses from its potential, which is the seed form, to its full manifestation. So the potential level is what? The knee level. We spoke about it, putting into concept the presence of God in us as the Spirit of Christ in us, or the Holy Spirit in us, which we have the full potentials to manifest anything pertaining to the kingdom of God. Then last week, we looked at what? The second level, which is what? The knee level. Well, we say we start to have foretaste of what? Power. Foretaste of what? Power. And I remember, we spoke about it where I gave some kind of characteristics that come along with that foretaste, that there is the zeal of the Lord that what? Consumes us. And remember, I made a statement that at that level, you can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens you. Jack of all trade, master of none. You are involved in everything. It's a good thing. And I also made known to us that in that level, the impact of the foretaste of the power can be so loud and evident that you may think that you have reached. And remember the story of David killing Goliath and the song of the women they sang. That was a level of foretaste. But the impact was so loud that if David was not wise enough, he might say that he has what? Rich. That is the point. You see, Daddy Joe is jealous of your anointing. Daddy Joe does not respect the grace of God on your life, because you pray for a cripple to walk, and Daddy Joe has not prayed for a cripple to walk, or he has not raised the dead yet, so he doesn't respect the grace of God on you. You have reached. You are a senior man, so we have to honor you because you have raised one dead person. You can, that is how loud the foretaste of the anointing can be. But that does not mean that you have gotten to the full maturity of the ministry of the anointing. All these levels are good, and this is how we know we are progressing. It gives you evidence that indeed something is happening in your life. Are you following? So you are able to know that, oh, okay, at this level, I'm this place. You see certain characters and everything. I gave the event. I said that each of the levels are characterized with what? Events. So you see that there is a major event that happens in your life. So I talk about the potential anointing, speaking to the fact that when we become born again, the day we lifted our hand and accepted Jesus as our Lord and personal Savior, on that very day, that event characterized the potentials of God captured in us as what? Seed, which is also the ankle deep. And when we come to the foretaste, the event is which one? Yes, what did I say as the event? Hello, what did I say? And I actually made you do the demonstration before I even preached. Yes? The baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of what? Speaking in tongues. All right. So, this one, the waist deep experience. What are we talking about here? Now, if you look at the waist deep experience, the interpretation which I gave directly to it is what? The specific what? Anointing. The power of God that comes on a man to do a specific what? Task. Consistency in that task. So where we have gotten to is a very critical place. Some of us may be there. Some of us are yet to get there. We need to understand it and begin to prepare for it when it begins to what? Manifest in our life. Now, concerning the matter of the levels of the anointing, as I said last week, I introduced us to the knee deep, or the foretaste level of the anointing, on the subject matter of God's business, as we are all called to partake in it. So if you remember very well, I built the concept of the knee deep last week on the fact that it is the business of God. He called us that he might send us. So on the account of the business of God, that is where we begin to have experience of the foretaste of God's power. In other words, if the power of God does not come upon you, you may not, or you will not even be interested in God's business. That's why people can be in the church and they don't care about anything that goes on in the church. You take note very well. places where they undermine Holy Ghost baptism or the encounter with the Holy Ghost, you will notice that one of the characters of the people over there has no interest in ministry. Anything concerning the kingdom, they don't care. They are only interested in coming to church. Pastor, Holy Mary, full of grace. We share communion. We prophesy to you, pray for you, give you counseling. They go. They don't care whether a soul is won, somebody needs to be discipled, anything concerning the kingdom advancement is none of their business. This is a character of a church where you see that less of the Holy Ghost is being mentioned about. People are not exposed to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But when we want to expose the believer, when the individual know that I can also do equally what the pastor, you see, this is the place where the pastor can become a deity. Because he's the only person who is able to demonstrate power. Are you with me? Yes. So, even if headache, hallelujah, it's becoming the norm in today's generation. You see, this is why we keep trust in stickers, mentions them, anointing water, what anointed what soup, so below good. My pastor is the living word. You see, my pastor is the living word. So everything is pastor because the people are devoid of the experience of the power of God, because they are not exposed to what the foretaste of what power, which is what the Holy Ghost baptism. But the moment such people are exposed to the foretaste of power, you see that the zeal, the interest of God's business becomes the agenda. They are willing. They are ready to step into the matter. So, in regards to the business of God, whenever God wants to launch us into His business, the first point of contact is the foretaste of power, so that you can know how to what. Exercise yourself in the business of what? The Father. So as I said, the knee-deep experience, which is the beginning of our life of power, makes it clear that God's power is associated to us, or is accessible to us, because of His business He trusted in our hands. In the book of Luke chapter 19 verse 13, Jesus, in a parable or in a story, he was talking about a man which was likened to the kingdom of God, that he gave his servants, he called 10 of his servants, right? He called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 what minas, and said to them, do what business till I what I come. Are you with me? So when God calls us, He gives to us the Holy Ghost with all the fullness thereof, for the purpose of us do what business till you ought. So if you are here, and you see, this is where I last week I was talking about that. If you come to a church where they expose the people to the power of God, Holy Ghost baptism, person begin to manifest, see the gift of God at work in the person, and you shut the person up. You don't create an enabling environment for the person. You disturb the person. There will be some kind of anarchy and then disturbances and issues in the church. Why? Because when he gave to them, he said they should do what? Business till he comes. So the power of God is always associated with the business, running the kingdom business, and it begins with the foretaste level, a sample or an exposure to the full manifestation of what is yet to come. Now you find out that the full manifestation of the power of God or the anointing in the life of person is when you become a name. Do you know God can give you a name? Yeah, you see it. Yeah, as we continue, you find out that they'll get to a point, that when we mention your name, demons know, they know. As they said, Paul, I know. Silas, I know. Who are you? That is where you have the anointing is at its peak, like the full maturity of the anointing. That why you don't even need to say in Jesus' name. A. Allen just said, I am here. So, and they asked him, how did this leave? How did they leave? The demons, he said, oh, I told them that I'm here. People may think that it is he was boasting. No, he's not boasting. There's a place where you get to in the full maturity of the anointing, the power of God, that you begin to behave like Elijah. As the Lord liveth, and I am here, there will not be rain. He didn't say God said, though. He said, me, I've closed heaven. I've closed heaven. No water for you. And he left. That is the full level of the manifestation of God's power. Are you with me? Hello, are you with me? So when we get there, so that is that. But you see that we start with the foretaste, little by little, then we come to that level. So we will get there. But today, let's look at the third level. Okay. So as we begin to experience God's power in our life through the Holy Ghost baptism, with the evidence of speaking in tongues,
we are also exposed to the Father's business, which we begin as interns, learning how to express God's power in accomplishing His work. I hope you understand the word interns, right? How many of us have done internship before? Before done internship, right? Are we doing internship? It's a very common thing in our tertiary life. You start going to some companies to practice what you have learned in level 100, level 200. In my place that I went to, by the time you get to level 300, it becomes compulsory for you. Yes, they are going to add it to your coursework. But level 100, I think when we go to the final year, they now make it compulsory from level 100 to 400. Yes, that every long vacation, you must spend some 1 month at a corporate institution. But for those of you who are into the health practitioner, you start internship from the day you are registered into the school till the day you graduate. Because the nature of their job is that you do. So that is the same thing. When the power comes on you, you start as an intern. So you learn to exercise the power in the various business aspects. I'll come there. Okay. Now, since the matter of anointing, which is God's power, is associated with his business, today too, what we're going to talk about cannot be devoid from what? The business or the kingdom what? Activity. Are we all there? Now, when we are exposed to God's power, because of the zeal that comes along with it, we attempt to do almost everything that we set our eyes on as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. But as we journey through these various experiences with regards to the kingdom business, we begin to identify and align to some specific kingdom tasks, which becomes a predominant expression of God's power in our life. So you see that when you start doing the various tasks in the church or in the kingdom, as time goes on, in some few years or some time to come, you begin to see that you personally, you begin to align. You begin to align to some specific task or some specific task, which you have noticed that the power of God is very predominant in your life over there. Or you begin to see that some people, when they start the journey, you begin to notice that the power of God is becoming predominant. Can I give an example here? Let me use Elvis as an example. How many of you noticed when he came? Did you notice he was a prophet? Did you see anything prophetic about him? Can you smell what I'm smelling? You can smell it, right? God. So give him some time. You will start calling him prophet. He will not tell you he's a prophet. You will call him. Do you know what? As he journeys through the various things he's doing concerning the kingdom, you will find out that he begins to align to a particular task where the power of God is very predominant. The power of God is so realistic over that. You, when we talk about that activity, you will mention his name. This is what we talk about. This is where we are coming to what? The waist deep experience. Specific what? Anointing. So what we are talking about here is that when the power of God comes upon you, at this point, it is very effective with certain specific tasks. In better explanation, it is like the electricity power. Are you with me? Now you see that when you have an electricity power and it is passing through a lot of gadgets or passing through a lot of systems, you will find out that some gadgets are able to convert it into certain specific interpretations. For example, this microphone here is using electricity power, not the one hydro one, but this is what? The battery, right? It's power. You find out that it is able, the same battery over here, which is the power generating source, is able to make me to speak so that you could hear me loud, like amplify my voice through other gadgets. But if you put it in a remote and I speak, it will not amplify. Are you following me? So you find out that when the power of God comes upon the person is responsive to one specific task. Very, very, very dominant. So the person begin to align. So let's look at it. So let's take David as a character model to study this concept of what? Waist level. Now I told you that when we started the concept of anointing, I used two characters. Number one, David, and who? Jesus. Where David is a symbolism of the shadow of the reality. So you're going to find out that as I teach on the anointing, I will bring in David and what? And Jesus to interpret the concept as we move on. Are you following me? Good. So when we take David, I told you that the whole people of Israel were called the anointed, the seed level, because God was what? With them. And God was with them in the form of the temple that was built where God, the Spirit of God dwells, or the tabernacle. Are you with me? So the Bible called them that touch not what? My anointed, because God was what? With them. And I told that the anointed is anybody who God is what? Is with. Are we there? The abiding what? Anointed. So God was with them in the representation of what? The ark or the temple. But you see that as it moves on, some people were what? Separated. So these were people who started receiving some foretaste of what? Anointing to begin to what? Do or express certain dimensions of what? God's power. And you find out that David was anointed. Are you following me? Okay, now let's look at something here. When David experienced his first anointing through Samuel, it was never mentioned to him or those present there that it was for him to take over from Saul, and no one suspected it as such. Because in the Old Testament, you can be anointed as a priest, as a prophet, or as a king. Now take note, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, let's read from the verse 1 to 3. That would be a very long reading, or should we? Do you love long readings? How many of you love long readings here? We should do long reading, right? You're also looking at the time too. Should we do the long reading? Let's do the long reading. 1 Samuel chapter 13 verse 1. Let's go. Now the Lord said to someone, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I've rejected him for reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. So you know that it is only Samuel. Now you see that Samuel over here will be a type of the Holy Spirit. As we move along, follow me very well. It's only Samuel who knows what was going to happen to that young man when he anointed him. Only Samuel. Now let's read. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you. Hey, you see how God, the wisdom of God. It's not everything about prayer. Sometimes direction, prophet. You see, God is, because someone was anointed, I do not Saul had the power to kill him. He's the king. He could have ordered for his slaughter. So God gave him, so direction what? Prophet. Some of you think that everything is kaboka, but no. Seek direction from scriptures. Not everything is kaboka, but in fact, the kabo should give you direction. The thing is, you have been, you see, God instructed to go anoint you, but it is at the cost of his life. See, sometimes some of us, we pay dearly in accomplishing God's task because we don't ask for further instructions to what? To protect ourselves. You know, someone could have still anointed David and he will be killed. And he has accomplished his task. So it is not God's fault. And still, you could have also anointed David and live long. So the fact that you accomplish the task, whatever happens to you next is on you. God doesn't care. If you want to live, you help. If you want to die along, it will be a matter. Hallelujah. Amen. So please, not everybody must do something. And see, I've heard these stories where people say that I went to pray for somebody and then when I slept, the demons came to beat me. I'm just waiting for one of the demons to beat me one of these days. I have not seen some yet. Why? We have been ministering power, deliverance and everything. But it has never happened to me. Do you know why? Because it is never true that when you do the task of God, you must suffer some kind of negative. No, it's not true. God will give you direction. That's why when you are ministering to people, you need scriptures, you need revelation, you need the inner speaking to know what to do, because that is where your security is. Watch what I'm holding. Say, Lord, if I go and do this, this guy, he also said, don't worry, take a heifer. Let's look at how we are going to trick Saul. So Saul will not know that this is what you are going to do. So you just trick Saul. That means that Saul had a surveillance on the prophet. You see, those days, they plant people around who carry messages to the king. CCTV didn't start today. This were human trained CCTVs. They pick intels and send it as fast as satellites. Oh yeah. So those days, you think that, yes, in today's generation, still do that. There's a name they have for them, spy. Some people can be born, raised at the age of 8 years, and then they'll send to a different country and they'll mingle with them and be there, and their job is to spy on that country. You will never know. The people who are very good at this is the Israelites. In fact, I can tell with all authority that they have spies in every country. Those people, they're in America. Fear them. It can be your own brother who's a spy on us over here. Yeah, they can't. They don't. So Saul knew very well that someone may try to do something, because in the previous verse he said the kingdom has been taken from you. So the guy has been tracing the man's activity to make sure that whoever is going to take that kingdom, he what, is someone who is going to confirm it. So someone knew that there's a surveillance on him. He said, I'll be killed. I have come to sacrifice. So listen to what God said. Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice what? To the Lord. Did he lie? No. Let's move on. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. Instruction. This is not part of what I want to talk about. I just want to open your eyes to something. So when God says something, ask for details. Step by step, as you pay dearly. You shall anoint for me the one I named for to you. Move on. Verse 4. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourself and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Move to the verse 13. I just want to establish. You see the people who have gathered there. Are you with me? Samuel was there. The elders of what? Bethlehem were there. Jesse and his what? His sons. So what happened to the foretaste of the anointing that came upon David was not only between Samuel and then what? David. It was in the presence of what? The elders of the town. And what? The family. Now watch this. Then Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And but he never mentioned to which purpose the anointing was what? Was for. Only Samuel. So when David experienced his first anointing through Samuel, it was never mentioned to him or even those over there what the anointing was for. But the people knew that something significant has happened to this boy. Though the elders and his family present knew that it was a significant encounter, it was not made known to them except Samuel, who knew what God was up to. This suggests that when the Holy Ghost comes on us with the evidence of speaking in tongues, even though people can see that something significant has happened in your life or in our life, they cannot tell what this significant experience will turn out to become. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, see, it is only the Holy Ghost who knows, just as only Samuel who knew. You see, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, it's so significant, people will know. Do you know that? When you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, it's so loud, people know that something significant has happened to you. The power of God, you have tasted it, but nobody can predict what that significant experience will God end up to become, or what is the end result of that significant experience. It's only the Holy Spirit who knows, just as someone who was the only one who knew, the one who poured anointing on him for the power to take off, just as the Holy Spirit who comes upon us for power to take off. Now watch. But as it is written, can you hear? Eyes has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10. Watch. Verse 10. But God has revealed them to us through his what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. So what he's saying over here, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, it is only the Holy Spirit who knows the significance or the extent to which that coming is going to be. People may see the significance, but they cannot tell. Nobody. Eyes have not seen. You can't tell. You can't predict the end result of a person under the influence of the Holy Ghost. You cannot. You cannot. If the brethren of David knew that what had happened to him was to be the throne, they wouldn't talk to him anyhow. Do you know they talk to him anyhow? Oh, after the anointing in chapter 17, we were sent to go and give them food. And he was starting to find out about the issue of Goliath. What did the brother say to him? You are too inquisitive. Get out from this place. But he didn't know that he was talking to the future king. This is how God is secretive. Are you still with me? So the foretaste of the anointing, it will never reveal where God is taking you to. People know that something's happened to you, but they can't tell where it is heading to. So watch something here. Hallelujah. Are you following? So you see that you'll be doing a lot of things in church. You'll be doing many things that people will see, but they can't tell. So this boy, what? Some people will start, you see? Some people will start and then you see them at the quad, everywhere. Like they want to do something. So you think they are too busy for what? Like they are wasting their time and they are too zealous for God. God is building something in them, but they not see. Because at the beginning, it is not revealed. Except the Holy Spirit who knows. Even the person who encountered it, you, from the, when you see the Holy Ghost, do you know where you come this far? Yeah, you know. Are you following me? Okay, so now what's something here? So, at the fourth test level, the predominant task, or you see that at the fourth test level, the predominant task that David was engaging in was war. You see that he was, after the anointing him of him, he was fighting war. But you find out that he was equally doing other things. So you cannot predict that this guy will become a king. Are you following me? God. So you find out that he was, one of the things that David did when the anointing came upon him, that he played instruments. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 18 to 23, we are not going to read. When the spirit of God left Saul and a troubling spirit came upon him, they said that they need to find somebody who had the capacity to play the harp, such that the anointing on that strings would cast out or take away the troubles of the king. Now, if you read the scripture that I just mentioned, said then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in what? Playing. Skills are important. But watch. A mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person." Look at the next thing. "And the Lord is with what? Anointed." So if one of the anointing came upon him, although there are people who play harp, he was distinguished. But do you know the anointing was not to play? Follow me. So at the fourth test of power, that's why I said, jack of all trade, master of none. People cannot predict where you are heading. You do everything. When the power comes upon you, you can do this, can do this, can do this. Do that. You know that he was an armor bearer. 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 21. He bare the armors of Saul. Do you know an armor bearer? Have you ever heard the word armor bearer? I don't want to go there. Have you? Maybe I'm a fan of football. So, do you know? In football, we have people we call the technical team. The armor bearer is the one who stands beside you, bearing your armor. He's the one who can predict that the king needs a sword or a spear. It takes an anointing to do that. You need to be smart. I follow you. You must be able to preserve and make sure that the armor of the king to execute at war. So if a king can fail in war, it is possible that the armor bearer didn't do the right thing. Let me move on. Time factor. He became a captain of an army. Are you following? The same book of 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 5. The Bible said, "And Saul made him captain over his what? His army. A section of it." The same guy the anointing came upon. Don't forget, the same anointing made him to go and lead sheep. It's also part of the expressions of the anointing. That is how he understood that the Lord is his shepherd. How many have I given you so far? The things that he was doing at the fourth taste level because of the anointing that came upon him. A foretaste of the anointing. Do you know he performed priesthood duties at the same time? He performed priesthood duties. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 7 to 8. When Ziklag was ransacked in their absence and they came and they took their wife and children, David has to put on the effort, which was the work of the priest, and make an inquiry. Shall I go? Shall I what? And shall I recover? One anointing, you are an armor bearer. One anointing, you are performing the work of a priest. One anointing, you are playing instrument. So you cry, what do you do? Who are you? Four Tesla. Are you following me? So the fourth test level begins to show all these things. I'm still leading you to the waste level. Now, you'll find out that it is the same thing with us in the kingdom. When we encounter the Holy Ghost power, when the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes over, there are some broad activities, many activities. I just grouped them into five. Let me touch them. that you see that you practically touch all of them. But do you know very well that among all these things I've listed, including raising people, his actual specific, where the anointing was very effective, was at war. King. The Bible said, in those days when king ought to go to war. David was a skillful warrior and a leader of the people. So you saw that the anointing of David was very effective in leadership and war. Are you with me? But he was doing other things at the same time. Those days when you are anointed as a king, you must know that you must be a master of war. Now, let's come to this reality of our life. When the Holy Ghost comes upon us, there are many things or many activities we do in the church. Many of them. These activities can end up to be your specific mandate as you go along. Let me break down these five, then we move on. Number one. The various works we do in the kingdom put together is called the work of the ministry. Colossians chapter 4 verse 17. Paul said that. Yeah, give me Colossians chapter 4 verse 17. Paul, speaking to one of the people he raised, and he said to this word there, I don't know. Is it Archippus or Archippus? It's Archippus, right? Right. Take heed to the ministry which you have what? Received in the Lord, that you may what? Fulfill. So the various tasks we do in the kingdom is called what? Ministry. Put all of them together, it's called ministry. Now, ministry can be further categorized or breaking into at least five major components I have found. Number one, preaching. Follow me very well. Most times we think that those who preach, or preaching means apostolic, right? Let me tell you what preaching is. Preaching is the act of public proclamation or declaring to people about a subject matter, which in this context, the gospel. Preaching. So when you do a public declaration of a subject matter, public of a subject matter to people, what you are doing is that what? You are what? You are preaching. And there is an anointing that comes to do that. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you do this. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Quick. Let's listen to Paul. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of the speech of wisdom. Are you hearing the word? You see what I mean? Declaring to you the testimony of what? Of God. He was talking to the Corinthians that when he came to them at the first time, in their first point of encounter, his declaration, look at what he's talking about. He said, it was what? To you, the testimony of God. Now, let's move on. Follow on. Verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and him what? Crucified. So, you see what his declaration was, public declaration was about. Christ and him what? Crucified. That is the gospel. Let's go. Verse 3. It was with you in weakness. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much what? Trembling. Verse 4. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of what? Power. So you see the anointing in declaration. So when we have the foretaste of the anointing, one of the things you see that people begin to do is what? To declare. Declaration. Demonstrate. So we will come there. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of what? Of God. So I told you that you cannot divide power from the kingdom business, isn't it? So the declaration, so declaring Jesus to them or making a public statement of him was not in persuasive words, but it was in the demonstration. So when somebody said, I'm preaching, we are looking at what you declaring Jesus in the demonstration of what? The Spirit and power. Are you following me? Haven't you done that? Now the objective of preaching, the objective of preaching is to present Christ as Lord and personal Savior to the lost. Are you with me? So the objective is to present Christ as Lord and personal Savior to what? The lost. So you see that when we meet people who are not born again, we always speak to them, we declare Christ to them, not with persuasion. That is why you can't preach, you can't win a soul without demonstration of power. And see, it's very important. Now, the power is not only about healing. Or see, there is a word that the words you speak, the Bible says, their spirit, it pierces the people. In fact, the first souls that were winning, there was no miracle over there. Was there a miracle? Did Peter heal anybody when he was preaching his first message? But the Bible said the heart of the people were hot. So there is an anointing that comes upon those words you are speaking, introducing Christ to them. And we don't only preach to the lost, we also preach to believers. But with regard to believers, sorry, we inspire them, which we normally call revival, to live for the Lord and to do the work of the ministry. So when you meet a preacher, when somebody is preaching, if it is to the lost, it is Christ. If it is the believers, you see that he inspired them, revived them to do the work of the ministry. Inspire, revival, revive them. So when a preacher enters here, that's what some of you think that when they preach, in fact, you will not hear anything, but something will happen to you. That is the kind of church service you close and ask you that, what did he say? He said, he preached well. Have you ever been to that kind of church service before? The man preached well. What did he say? He preached. Something has happened to you, but you can't even tell what he said. That's like they will inspire you. Preachers inspire. Preachers what? Will inspire you. Like they'll revive you. They'll set you up. So some key activities we do concerning preaching, or when we are preaching, some of the key activities around this act of preaching is, number one, evangelism. Prayer programs to revive the believers. Healing and deliverance services. When you see us doing this thing, we are declaring. It's a public statement. Crusade, which is moving from one place to another to declare the word of God and demonstrate his power. All these activities are captured in the expressions of what? Preaching. How many of you have not done any of these activities before? When the Holy Ghost came upon you? Have you noticed that you have done it before? Are you there? Yeah. But do you know that this can become your specific mandate? You get it? Jack of all trades. When the Holy Ghost came on you in your classroom, SHS, in fact, everybody must hear Jesus. Yeah. Number two, teaching. One of that key kingdom activity that we do is teaching. Teaching has to do with systematically establishing people in a doctrine from one precept to another precept. Systematically establish people on a doctrine. So when we say somebody is teaching, what you find out is that he is actually impacting some way of, like, an act of transforming the people. Doctrine. Doctrine is a concept that is being given to people to indoctrinate. The word we use, the word indoctrinate, to change or to help transform them. So when you see a teacher doing his job, you see that the teacher targets transformation. In the book of Matthew chapter 28 verse 20, you see that Jesus instructed us to what? To teach, make disciples of them, to what? Teach. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, listen to something he said about them. I want to read that scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. Let me leave it there. Move on. Next one. That the man of God may be what? Complete. Thoroughly what? Equipped for what? Every what? Good work. Now, in as much as preaching stir up people, you understand, and push them to do the work of God, it is teaching that equip them to do it. It is dangerous to preach to people and refusing to teach them. Because it is in the doctrine that they will be equipped. Do you understand the word equip? Equip can also be said, used as what? You have been given the necessary tools to execute the task. So if I teach you, or if I speak to you about task, I show you interest. Let me give you an example. Forex trading. I don't know if you've heard of forex trading. Good. Now, I can talk to you about forex, the benefit, how you can make money and everything. Do you understand? Show you the systems and then the apps and everything that you can go and do the forex thing. But if I don't give you the tools, that is, I give you the things that can make you succeed on that market, do you know I'll do you a disservice? So the preaching will set you up. Hey, do the work of God. Do this, that, that, win shows. But the teaching will give you the tools, so to be equipped for every good work. So when you see somebody, a believer, you see that when somebody comes into the church, the person will be interested to help the person how to gain skill set to what? Do the job. So when it has to do with healing, you are being trained. And you see that some of us will be doing that, helping people understand. So this, you help the person to understand. This one, it is like this. This one is like that. Are you with me? Good. So the objective of teaching is to achieve two things. Number one, which is actually in two forms: spiritual formation and transformation. Formation is to what? You are formation. I don't know how to explain, but formation. Okay. I'm not talking about football a lot like that because I'm a football fan. You see, when we are playing football, those of you don't like football, we call something formation. We have 4-4-2. And give me some Caesar. Some of the for good. We have the arrow, the diamond shape. This is formation. You know that the people of Israel, when they were moving, they were sitting in a they were camping in formation to form the cross. Teaching gives us that formation. Everybody is fitted perfectly at where they belong. So when people come to the church and they are not taught, they don't know where they belong. So there's no proper arrangement in the church. Now when you come, that is, it's very important. So when we come, you see that there are people who are interested in formation, balance. No matter how you attack, it will not work. A church which, yeah, if there are no people, that's why God will give people anointing for that, to help people to be in line, be where they belong. Formation. Then the next one is what? Transformation. Transformation is when you are changed. Your thinking pattern and everything is you are deprogrammed and reprogrammed. Teaching. Powerful. This one, it comes with anointing, you know. That's why it's not everybody who can be able to help us to be information. It's not everybody. It's an anointing. So when you're born again, you see that you're trying to help people to fit into the church. You can't wear this. You can't speak like this. You can't do these things. Do you know what you're trying to do? You're helping the person to be information. Fit into the system. Teachers. That is their job. It's a ministry. It's the kingdom business. Are you there? Good. So the thing is, this, so that the people who, the formation and transformation is to achieve what we called the people becoming what? A disciple. In Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, Paul said, little children, in whom I travail until Christ is formed. Until Christ is formed. So the Christ forming is in twofold: formation and what? Transformation. You fit perfectly into the body and then you are transformed. Means that you are able to become productive in the formation. Some key activities we do in aspect to teaching are shepherding. Somebody say shepherd. How many of you want to be shepherds? We do shepherding, we do mentoring, we shepherd the people. I just want to move on quick. Like, all these things are key things. Some of the things you do in shepherding is we do Bible studies. These are also part of the things in teaching. Seminaries, theological education, all these things is to bring formation and transformation. There are people who are anointed to deliver in this. Or people, the anointing, you can say some people, they can do this. Many people, like most of us who have a few, like you will try. Haven't you tried to put people like, let them be in order, telling them what to, yeah, and you are trying to, it's the anointing which is pushing you, trying to make you. Let's move to the third one quickly. Help ministry. So you see that David was an armor bearer, he was leading an army. These are some of the things, the fortress of the anointing, you should be doing almost everything. Now let's look at the table ministry or table service, which is also called help ministry. This is where the individual provides organizational skill to promote structures and systems in managing God's people.
the organism. Table service, which is also called the help ministry. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40. Let everything be done in order. That achieving that order in a local church or in the body of Christ, it is by the help of what? The table service. The objective, let all things be done decently and in what? In order. There is people who have anointing for decency and order in the church. I'm going to show you. Don't worry. You see them. The objective is to ensure that the organism, which is the church, functions well as an organization, which is group of people with common interest. So the church is an organism and organization. For the organism to function well as an organization, we need people or people who come with certain skill set and anointing to make sure that there is decency and what? Order. If not, the organism will not grow well. There'll be issues. So in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, we saw the table ministry over there. Did you read with me? So the Bible said that it was not good for the apostles to lead the work of the organism. But they need people to handle the organization. Look at the kind of qualities that people need to have. People full of the what? Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit doing? Is that not anointing? It's anointing. So these people are able to make sure that there are systems and structures that the organism is functioning well as an organization. An organization simply means group of people what? With what? Same interest. Now, some of the activities that they do, quickly. Church administrators. See, let me see their hands. Hello, administrators. Sometimes we call them the church workers. This group of people call them the church workers. Media. Technical team. Where's Francis Kafiaju? Media. Technical team. Welfare. Ushering and protocol. All these things that we do in the church. We have estate manager. You let the estate manager decide I'll not open the gate for you. Let's see if you can pray. That's why they tell that even to sweep in the church, they have to lay hands on you and pray for you and blah blah blah. Anointing. It is grace. The Holy Spirit, we are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Which is the manifestation of power. Do you know wisdom is an expression of power? The highest level of power is wisdom. It's not might. Wisdom. Wisdom. Stronger than might. Do you know the head of the intelligence of America? He's not a thick, tall giant man. Just one slim, short man. Be. But do you know the damages he's doing? Power is not in might, too. Wisdom. That is why a white color thief is difficult to catch than any other thief. Do you know a white color thief? Those who rob by pen. Are we not in this country? Yeah. We are still chasing them, right? And still people are acquitted and discharged. That tells you that wisdom. So don't think that this is why you see. So when you come to church, have you ever done any of the table service before? Have you done the table service before? You said you love to do it. You are involved. You are engaged. And that Martin loves the aspect of food. You know, he makes sure that when we go for crusade camp meetings, we are fed well. He manages that place so well. The day he will decide to teach us a lesson, we all learn our lessons. We have been talking about Auntie Portia, right? Everybody has been fed by her. You have eaten her food one way or the other. Are you with me? So, you see, but you know that's not the only thing she does. You know, she's in charge of guys and girls. There are many things we should do because that is the anointing for test level. You touch almost everything. Let's move on. We have exhortation. There are five. Exhortation. This has to do with encouraging and motivating others to pursue higher standard or to be steadfast in their belief. Encourage and motivate. Do you know that people can be doing things, but sometimes they need some push. Are you there? We need to push them. Encouragement. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. So,
in keeping people to be morally sound and spiritually advanced, there are point where we need to encourage and motivate them. Therefore, comfort each other and what? Edify one another, just as you all, just as you also are doing. This is the place. We need to comfort. Everybody needs comfort. Say comfort. So some key activities. Let's look at something over here. Romans chapter 12 verse 8. Encouraging and motivation is a ministry. Romans chapter 12 verse 8. As I read over there. He who exhorts. Have you seen it over there? In exhortation. He who gives. So you see, in who ought? Exhort. That is encouraging. Motivating people. There's a way to spark some kind of push in people. Some of the activities here are counseling. Have you ever counseled people? Yes. It's a ministry. Some people will be confused. They don't know what to do. Then they'll come to you and then you give a word. It's not that. It's not the one you know. It's not a country. I mean. Hallelujah. All these are kingdom tasks, which put together called the work of the ministry. Now, if you wonder why at the fourth test level, you begin to. So, counseling. Do you know ministry in music is also in this place? Music ministers. Mostly, they are predominantly in this area. Sometimes you can be broken and down. Then you listen to one anointed song of Nathan Ebers and you are healed. You are fine. You are good. You see, the place of counseling is because when people, see, we are emotional beings. And there are times that we can be broken down. Like we are tired. But there is this relief that comes from an encouragement. So there was a man with Paul called Barnabas, the son of what? Encouragement. Who was encouraging Paul in the course of his ministry? That was his own job. When Paul was in ministry, son of encouragement. I pray for you. May we find comfort among each other. It's an anointing. It's not everybody can advise well. The last time another somebody advised you, what was the end of your life? Elder Martin. Yeah, it's not everybody can give us good advice. Yeah, it's a dimension. There are certain things I go through. There are some people I'll call, some people I'll never call them. Because I know you don't have that grace. Sometimes you talk to daddy and then you see the thing so someone will say sophisticated and you call daddy Joe. Then in just 1 minute, he makes it as simple as then ask yourself, especially when you have a dream. You know, this place of exhortation, you know, dreams. How to help you understand. You call daddy Joe with a complex dream and you don't know the head until then. That man in 1 minute will just break it down. Then ask yourself, so God, this anointing, where is it located? Are you with me? It's not everybody. Somebody call them a dream and then they are going to give you some interpretation. If you don't take care, the next time you sleep, you don't want to close your eyes. You are scared. People don't have grace. Exhortation. Hallelujah. Last one. That last but not the least. Let me use that word. Because there are other ones. Like the ministry. The last one is giving. We have the ministry of mercy. Compassion. The ministry of compassion. It's even from giving. But I can just see all of them. This is where the individual gives generously to promote the kingdom of God. See, giving is influenced by anointing. Let me tell you, if the Holy Ghost does not touch people's heart, they can't give. People are not, see, let me put this word. Everybody is stingy. Listen to me very well. Everybody is stingy because of the principle of I, me and not myself. We are all selfish. The fact that I give doesn't make me what. The reason why I give, because something convicted me. See, when Moses wanted to build the tabernacle for God, the Bible said God said God touched the heart of the people to what? To give. It is not easy to give offering. It's not easy. It is the Holy Spirit. So you say, when you become born again, the reason why you are able to give, because the Holy Spirit begins to what? Convict you. It's an expression of the anointing. Generosity. Yeah. See, the person who does The person does this, or the people give, not because they have in excess, but they give out of love for God, even in the last or with the least they have. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. Let's listen to how Paul described a particular church. When you see people giving, don't think that they have in excess. Something has happened to them. God has broken them. And in fact, one sign that you are anointed is you give. Because there is, you are, freely have you what? Receive, freely what? Give. The fact that Peter said that gold and silver I have none doesn't mean that he didn't give. You let me move on. Some of you, the way you gold and silver, we don't have for you. There are points where gold and silver you have, you give. It's part of the ministry work. Moreover, brethren, we made known to you the grace of God. Have you seen it? Is that grace of God bestowed on the church of what? Macedonia. Grace. What's the grace? Verse 2. That in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep what? Poverty abounded in the riches of their what? Liberality. Verse 3. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their what? Ability, they were freely what? Willing. Verse 4. Is everything okay? Imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of ministering toward the saints. It is not everybody who can do this. That is why you see the world is having issues with us giving in the church. They think we are fools. Are you there? Why will you carry your money and go and give it to the church? Like when, sometimes when they hear the amount of money people give, you sometimes you have not seen giving, let's continue. I don't want to talk much here. Some key activities. The objective of giving is to advance the kingdom of God and to make sure money does not become a hindrance for the propagation of the gospel and the advancement of what? The kingdom. The objective of giving. Some key activities done as are faithful tithing, offering, seed sowing, partnering or supporting kingdom projects, taking care of the needy and the poor in the church. This is an anointing. See, it's not everybody who has interest in giving to the poor and the needy. It is God. It is an expression of anointing. Are we all there? So, when we come born again and we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we are consumed by the zeal of the Lord and we get involved practically in the listed things I mentioned over here. True or yes? However, as we grow and measure up in the foretaste of the anointing, we begin to notice that we are drawn to some specific tasks which the power of God is very active and responds to when we engage in such activities. To the extent that people around us begin to recognize us and acknowledge us in those tasks. So all these five tasks I've mentioned, as time goes on, you yourself will begin to notice that whenever you do this particular thing, that you are very effective in it. You are very, very, very effective in it. You are doing so well. And you notice that the power of God comes so strong on you when it comes to this one. We can all sing. Is that not it? But you can't be truthful on Sunday. Are we all? You know, he himself said that when we sing, heavens does not listen to the melodies. Yes, he said there's nothing like melody. There's nothing like key. You understand? So far, no. In heaven, everything is one sound. In Acts chapter 4, which is true, and they begin to make what? One what? Sound. Are we there? But we at here, we are interested in the melody. You understand? No matter how anointed your voice, and people have voice, no matter how good your voice is, you can never be Chief Olosande. And you know that no matter how Chief Olosande is anointed, he cannot be Apostle Aromi. Oh, are you with me? So you see that when, as you move along, I wanted to use myself as an example with my brothers. As I told you, Elder Martin, Elder Abu, we met in 2009, start praying together. Over the years now, you can see a clear distinction between us. Each and us, you can see what the anointing responds to most. And you can see the clear path for all of us. So along the line, you will find out that there are certain things or certain specific tasks in the kingdom that when you get yourself engaged in them, the anointing is very responsive and people begin to recognize it. So look at something. Just ask David, to the extent that, see, just as David, so what David was doing all these things and everything, the people of Judah recognized something about him. The people of Judah. So in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 2, the verse 4, the people of Judah what? Anointed him. But this time the anointing was what? Specific. This time, everybody then knew what the anointing was coming to what? To do. That does not mean that the power of God was not working in the life of David though. But they were just recognizing that the power of God now has advanced into a different level. And the different level is that it is specific, very responsive to a particular aspect of their life. Which is what? And the men of Judah came and there they anointed David. What? King! When someone anointed, was there anything mentioned about that? So there is this place that you come to that when the power of God, we look up to you. Whenever we want to see the manifestation of power of God, we look up to certain things, something particular. It's not like those days that when the power of God, we can do, no. At this point of your life, when the power of God is to manifest, we are looking for something what? This is where the waist deep is talking about. People begin to acknowledge you when it comes to that aspect. Not that you can't do other things, but this is specific. And that is how we grow in the kingdom. So you can't do everything. It's just like when you went to school. Even though we all sat and took the same BEC exam, right? Or did you do a different thing that I didn't do? We all did the same thing. Maybe people did 8 subjects. I did 10 subjects. Our generation of many pressure. Now you realize that in the next 10 years, the people you started with, DHS, you wrote the same paper. Are you doing the same thing now? Now, you know, society is looking up to you for a specific task. Different from what they are looking up to me for. Because we are not doing the same thing. Even in the business field, we are different. So this time, when that dimension of the anointing begins to work on you, people look up to you for certain specific what, manifestations. Hallelujah. Now, quickly. So, what event characterized or make you know that you have entered the what? Waist deep experience. There's an event. Moving into the waist deep anointing is often characterized with events of appointment into leadership in the church, which comes along with specific responsibilities. Now, when somebody is moving into the waist deep anointing, one of the key, the event you see, the things that begins to happen in that area is that there is appointment into what? Leadership. In the church. Appointment. Yeah. Which comes with what? Specific what? Responsibilities. Where hands are laid on you as a public act of symbolism. Public act of symbolic or commission. So you see that when you start growing, hands have been laid on you. But this time when they call to lay hands on you, it's a different matter. Are we all there? So the moment you notice that your life begin to take that path where you are called, and then they begin to lay hands on you, commission you publicly, everybody to see, as David was anointed in public. Okay, today. So this one is not laying hands, cast out. No, no, no. This one is, we lay hand on you today as youth leader. Bam. We lay hands on you as this. Let's look at some scriptures. So, hands are laid on you as a symbolic commissioning or setting you apart for a specific task in the church. So, you see, in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, you notice that Philip, Stephen, these guys were people who were invited, like they do everything. But when they called them that they should serve tables, what happened? The Bible said after they prayed, they did what? They laid hands on them. The laying of hands is where it is publicly announced that you have the specific anointing to do that specific what task. It means that without you, anybody who has not received that laying hands cannot do that. It's so symbolic. And you think that it's symbolic. I have been preaching and pastoring. Not now. In school, we are doing that. But the day that he called me and said, you, public, you are pastor here, I noticed that something changed. From that day, many things I used to do, I do them no more. Not that I can't do them more. But I could see that there's a demand for some specific task that I have to accomplish. Are we all there? Are you following me? Good. Let's read the scripture. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3. I'll be wrapping up here. We'll continue on signs of the waist deep experience. The signs or shoes. This is the event. So have you seen the event right now? So when there's a public, have you seen those kind of public commissioning and no, there's the ones that people do. I mean the one that you have reached. And when you look at the signs that you have reached there, you will see the difference between what I'm trying to talk about here. But when you get to that level, men will recognize you and do the public outdoor. They'll publicly outdoor you for everybody to know that when it comes to this tax, you have what it takes to what? To deliver. Now let's read. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have what? Called them. Move on. Next verse. What's something? Then having fasted and prayed, what did they do? And laid hands on them, they sent them. So the Holy Spirit said, I have a work for them. Do you know the work? That they'll go to the Gentiles and preach. That was the assignment. When the Holy Spirit said that, they didn't say, okay, Holy Ghost has said this, so you should what? Go. There must be an event to God to confirm that calling. What did they do? They laid hands on them. So when you see that you are called, listen to me very well, and you are being recognized that you can perform a specific task and hands are laid on you, know that an anointing has come for that specific task. You can't fail in it unless you decide to fail. That is where anytime anybody engage you in that task, whether you sleep or not, you deliver. It is like Samson. He said, the Spirit of God came upon me, and that his task was to what? To fight. So whether he sleeps or wake up, as long as it has to do with what? Killing those people, he'll deliver right now. That's how specific anointing is. It's so powerful. Is it that it's stress-free? Like, people can struggle to do that. You don't struggle. It is so easy. You know why? You have mandate to deliver. The mandate has been given to you. So that the power of God comes upon you, and when it comes to that task, do you know that there was this specific anointing that the Bible spoke about Jesus in Acts chapter 10, verse 38? How God has anointed Jesus Christ with Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and doing what? And healing. Do you see the specific task? Give me that scripture. And what? healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So anytime Jesus goes to a place and people are oppressed by the devil, the specific response of the anointing, because of that specific task that the anointing can do, the oppressed will be free. That is why the disciples prayed for a young guy over and over. Nothing happened. When Jesus came, what happened? Because the anointing was there, and it was to deal with what? Oppression. The devil has oppressed humanity for many years. And when Jesus came and anointing came upon him, wherever he goes, oppressed must be set free. He loses them, break the bounds of them. I don't know what specific grace that God is giving you, but when you begin to find that path, no matter what the enemy, it doesn't matter the strength and the power and how strong the devil is, no matter how the mountain is, it will come down like that of Zerubbabel. What art thou, O mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain land. That is why you need anointing in any specific task you are doing. If God set you in the corporate world, oh Jesus, you need anointing. That is why they were not able to be like Daniel. The Bible said, and they found them 10 times better. Why? Because of the anointing. We are not grace mates. That is not a lie. We can all be doing the same task, but because of the anointing that is on me, and I've been mandated to operate in that specifics, I'll do better than you. You don't struggle, me, I'm not struggle. That is where the stars, the moon, the constellation, everything will come together to work for you. Because the grace, the power of God is resting on you to deliver on that side. I pray for you. You see, this is the place where you know that ministry is sweet. Because you begin to see how the impact of God's anointing can be delivered. I pray for you. You see, we need people who God will begin to put them in specifics. There are people we have to send to the media, the entertainment. There are people who have to send to the corporate business. And I thank God for the life of people like Pastor Dennis. You see, what he does, maybe I have not come to know the field work he's doing. You know that there is an anointing for everything. I always talk about that prince. His ability to combine everything and still make sure that it is running. That is grace. That is anointing. I can't do that. His administrative grace, that anointing to administration is serious. When it comes to diligence and ensure order, that guy is God. You know him that he prays. But the specific anointing I've seen on my brother has to do with that field. And because he's so good in diligence and order, when it comes to dealing with people, nurturing, I pray for you. See, it's not. There's a point where you have to not to be the jack of all trade. We have to see you mastering something. And you find out that when we begin to talk about the place of the evidence, you understand that this is where destiny ordination is very critical. When we get there, you understand. So as I wrap up, this event or the events that comes around you or that works around you with regards to this level of anointing is the season of many impartation. Impartation. This is the season where impartation becomes predominant in your life. When you have noticed that you are receiving impartation, whether physically or dreams or visions, get ready. The people who are God is using in the dream to impart you, he's telling you something, and something specific is coming from that place. Somebody will have a dream and tell that, I saw that this person did prayed for you. Then somebody will tell that, I had a dream. Then you go to a place, then somebody will call you and lay hand on you that you are releasing. When you see those things happening, those events, watch out. It is always telling you that you are going to the waste level of the anointing. When you begin to grow in that area, you will see how fruitful you are. The only problem is that whenever God gives us something, it is subjected to our ability to exercise. So some will bear fruit of 30, 60, and others 100. So you see some people will be very effective in this level. They will begin to make some. No, it is the anointing. There is anointing to do business that you will never lose. Receive it in the name of Jesus. So this is a season of what? Many what? Impartations. When we begin to notice that there are impartations upon impartations, watch out.
You have been prepared for a specific what? Many anointings will come. When I talk about the streams of anointing, understand, many of the streams will start to come together. Do you know that before we started the church or started pastoring church, I had this consistent encounter with three people. Two were from Nigeria, one is in Ghana. In fact, Daddy confirmed one of them. I didn't know. Like, you in vision, somebody will have a dream and call and tell that I saw this person, prayed for you. I saw this person, prayed for you. I saw this person, you were ministering. I saw this person. A lot of it. Watch out. So, this waist deep specific anointing at this level, we are talking about how the power of God is responsive in your life to a specific task. And it is somewhere you must desire to go. Because that is the place where your destiny ordination is. As we continue in this matter, God willing, the following week, I even pray now that you begin to move from the 40th level. If you are at the 40th level, journey into what? The specific anointing. There are many demands. God is looking for people. Let me tell you, you see, there are you think that people cannot do politics and succeed, eh? I'm telling you, there is an anointing for politics. If Daniel and Joseph survived in the most corrupt society, Egypt at that time didn't know God. Babylon, do you know Nebuchadnezzar? And still, in the purity of the anointing, Daniel succeed. You will succeed in politics. See, when that is your field, when that anointing comes upon you, when that is your specifics, you succeed. You not corrupt. Princess, you succeed. Don't let anybody see. That's why I said the specifics. When you begin to have that encounter, you will see that the wisdom to succeed will come. Oh, and when it comes to the entertainment industry and this and that, you have to do. No, you don't need. You can win through righteousness. That's when the specific anointing comes on you. You think that all businessmen are corrupt, or you think all businesses they have to cut corners before they succeed? I said there's an anointing coming on you. You see, the uncle of Jacob thought that he can cheat him, but the day that God gave him that revelation and encounter, you saw that nothing could stand his way of prosperity. I pray for you. Being it preaching, being it teaching, being it giving, being it exhortation, being it the offices of God, any kingdom assignment that God has ordained you, your destiny ordination is connected to, I pray that you begin to respond to it in the name of Jesus. May you grow and respond to it in the name of Jesus. I declare that you will begin to be specific in deliveries of the anointing. When it comes to healing, we will be noted. It will be specific. When it comes to teaching of the word, we will be specific. May people begin to respond to the specifics of the anointing in our life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit of God. Can you lift up your voice and pray in 1 minute? Yes, as you are seated, 1 minute. Manda brasunde kaba. In 1 minute. Oh Lord, let that anointing, the specifics, let it be released. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Shana makabra sunde. Let it be released. Let it be released. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Lord.